From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your hosts William Lamb and Tyler Shores. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William and Tyler.
And welcome to Servcast. My name is Tyler. We're glad you're joining us today. Now, William, we have a word of the day for you. Usually I'll ask you a fun question, but given our topic today, I have a word. Can you define, bring some enlightenment to us, man. This word, ecumenism. What does this mean? Ecumenical.
And I think the reason you want to put this on the front end is because when they hear this interview with our guest today, Toni Miles, and she talks about that a little bit, it's going to be very important to understand that.
Like you say, what we do may seem random, but at least it's relevant, right?
There you go.
Hopefully.
Always. That word, you know, ecumenicism, ecumenical, however you want to pronounce it, and I think, you know, there probably is a right way to pronounce these words. I'm not sure I got there, but...
Hey, we're in Southeast Tennessee.
Just it doesn't really matter. in its simplest form, I think, and in the purest form, it means this idea of coming together in a collaborative effort of a worldwide Christian focus or a unity point in which people see, you know, not pockets of Christianity, but they see a whole kind of concept of Christendom coming together to make impact in the community or impact in the world. And we're going to hear a whole lot about that in this episode.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to talk a little bit about that, you look at the scriptures, and I mean, certainly Christians of all people who claim Christ and would live their lives in accordance with his principles of love for God and for others, like, surely we should be unified, but sometimes we fight, man, over some of the pettiest things. But kind of a scriptural basis, you see, you know, in Jesus's last little prayer there in the Gospel of John, he prays that the church would be unified, and then following Pentecost, you see kind of this coming together of the church. But sometimes, man, we just let petty things divide us, and it's for the worse at times. So
yeah, and I think you're going to hear some of this. Interview today with Toni is going to talk about the challenge that we have and the necessity that we have as professing believers to come together and to love everybody. It's interesting you would say Pentecost, which on the Christian calendar, you know, just I think 2 weeks ago or last Sunday was noted as Pentecostal Sunday, mm-hmm. that we celebrate in our Christian churches. And man, two principles real quick, and again, you're going to hear this reiterated, that I think are essential to the Pentecostal experience are prayer and to love like Jesus. You know, Holy Spirit brings us into alignment to be like Jesus. So enough of that preachery stuff. We want to get to this interview with Toni Miles in just a minute, but I think you're spot on, man, that we who are professing believers need to really decide today that we're going to be unified in our efforts. We're going to align ourselves with other people for the common good to make an impact, because there's a lot of people who haven't yet met my Father, God, the one who, you know, created me, but also the one who loves me and wants me to be salt and light in the world. I want to invite other people to meet him as well. And so it's through Jesus that we get that access. It's a great day, man.
Yeah. So usually theologically is what we squibble over. But what Toni's going to talk about, Toni Miles from The Caring Place is with us today. She's our guest. She's the director of organizational advancement there. And she talks about some of the work that The Caring Place does with the vulnerable in our community. But one of the things that we really will hit in this conversation is the way that churches are coming together of multiple denominations to get behind support for the vulnerable. And that interview is coming up next. Stick around. And then after that, William and I will be back with some takeaways and his challenge. So that's coming up. And we're back with Toni Miles.
Toni, welcome to Servcast. I'm glad you joined us today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, Toni Miles, now what is your actual title or position at The Caring Place? And we'll talk about The Caring Place in a minute, but I want people to meet you.
Okay. Well, I'm the Director of Organization Advancement, and that is a huge title. But to break it down, I bring to from the caring place to the community who we are, what we do, and what our impact is. Along with that, my goal is to not fundraise, but friend raise.
Okay.
And connect with people in our community and connect them to our cause, connect them to the mission, and so that they will want to be a lifelong sustaining partner of the caring place, whether that's via time, talent, or treasure.
I think you've said that once or twice before, right? It seems like you may have.
Well, so. You know what? I believe it. And it is what, it is my role, and that's where I want to come from. I've been on the corporate side, and I've done fundraising, and but my belief is if you build, everything's relational. And so if you build and take care of relationships and bring people like mind, like heart together around a cause, then you will have everything you need to continue to make great impact in the community.
Great. So you have some corporate experience. So take another 30 seconds and give us an elevator spiel of, you know, you're moving from profit to nonprofit work and kind of, you know, the reason you made that transition. I mean, a lot of people are in business and, you know, not everybody moves from the profit to the nonprofit world. So
I sort of did that backwards.
Yeah.
The reason I did it is that a point happened in my life. It was a tragic event that made me to rethink my life and the impact. And I just realized in a long conversation with my God, my father, that, you know, I had the expense report. I had the car. I was living high, but I kept feeling like something was missing. And that tragic event just brought it all the way to the surface where I could no longer deny it. And it was significance. I looked around and I said, I'd rather be significant and leave something that, a blueprint that would impact a people, my community, and maybe even the world. And so I went to the nonprofit arena because I was involved at a higher level, you know, sitting on boards and making decisions for people and about people that, tell you the truth, I didn't know. And so I've come full circle. And so that's what it's all about. And I've tapped into something that is priceless in terms of being an advocate for the least of these. So
we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, and we'll kind of unpack that with some other questions. But introduce the Caring Place. Now, we've said the Caring Place, and we've said Tony, and we've said the Caring Place to our listeners. And, you know, now the Caring Place is a local nonprofit caregiving ministry organization in Cleveland, Tennessee, in Bradley County. But we're going to talk in a few minutes about the idea that this can be duplicated in other places. So before we get there, give kind of an idea of what the Caring Place is and what you guys do.
Well, I'll just probably quote our mission. We are a Christian organization, our ecumenical organization, that sole mission is to demonstrate the love of Christ by addressing physical, social, and spiritual needs of people of Bradley County. And we do that by providing food, clothing, and social services. So in those three areas, we have several programs. I mentioned the Whole Food is a program. Clothing is a program. We have a Sack Pack program that are feeding elementary children here in Bradley County during the school year on weekends, because they may or may be very dependent on the school free breakfast and lunch meals. So when they go home over the weekend, we want to make sure they have something. So we give them a sack pack that's full of about six mini meals that will carry them through until they can get back to school. And then we have our social services program, in which we have two social workers on board with the Caring Place, and they provide resources and connections into the community for those things that we do not distribute or do not have access to. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to be everything to everybody, mm-hmm. but we want to be a connection. And information is one of the most important things that people can have. And so our social workers know, you know, what other resources are out there, like other organizations. Someone may want to have resume help, so we connect them with an organization here in Cleveland-Bradley County that can help them with that process. Mm-hmm. They also do case management with some of the clients that we serve. What I'm real excited about mm-hmm. is what has happened here in the last year. We have realized that we have to do more than give out food, give out clothing. Mm-hmm. We are going deeper in with working with our clients. So we are expanding our social work program to help those that come to us for help mm-hmm. move from surviving to striving mm-hmm. and then ultimately thriving.
Now, you've just described what many of us would call a holistic approach
yes.
to caregiving.
Yes.
So why is it important to address those three particular issues?
Well, it is so important because what we're sitting around looking at is generational poverty.
Okay.
And so if we don't help a person in that family, these are things that we are passing down to the next generation and the next generation. So the way that we feel that we have to look at this in this holistic approach, it has to be systematic. So we have to start working with these families and helping them, and not telling them, mm-hmm. helping them realize that, you know what, there is a life that's better. What resources do you need to help make your life better? What resources? And, you know, having them tell us what they need and then coming alongside of them. And the Caring Place can't do it all, but coming alongside of them to help them identify those resources, connect with those resources. And if we have to, walk in a role of a mentor and a coach mm-hmm. to coach them through the barriers that would prevent them from moving from surviving to striving to thriving. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to break that cycle, mm-hmm. it's got to be a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. The emergency fund is good, and it's supposed to be for emergencies, mm-hmm. but it's not to continue where helping hurts. And that's where a lot of people they struggle with that because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But when you are keep handing out to the point that you've created a environment that the person doesn't have to work or have to expect more of themselves, then you are hurting mm-hmm. more than you're helping.
So is there a danger if one of these three areas of caregiving is more emphasized than the other?
Yeah, there could be it. There is. I sit and look at it every day mm-hmm. Because in the beginning, that was our primary focus was emergency care. Mm-hmm. And we started going through our database and started looking at one day I was sitting there and I was looking at a father, a mother, a daughter. And then their daughter had her kids. Mm-hmm. We had a generation of family sitting in the Caring Place mm-hmm. waiting on the handout. Mm-hmm. And just looking at them, and I want to say this. It wasn't like they didn't work. They did, but no one's ever told them they could do more. Mm-hmm. Okay, no one ever. And so when you ask a young man what he wants to be, and he says, disability.
Wow.
And you're thinking, oh, you know, in my middle class mind, wow. He wants to work with the disabled. And you say it to him again, and he says, disability. And what he meant is, I want to be like my grandfather. He gets a disability check. Mm. And so, yeah, and so you look at, and that's why we keep creating, that's why we still have so much poverty in this country. Now, I know Jesus Christ says the poor will be with us always, mm-hmm. but not everybody. Mm-hmm. And right now in this country, and not only Bradley County, that is on an increase. When I look at our county percentage-wise, and I look at the millionaires that's in this county percentage-wise, we should not have over 25,000 people living in poverty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But wow. It's a mindset. And see, we got to speak to the mind. Mm-hmm. Poverty is really in the mind.
Mm-hmm. So what you're really doing then, am I correct in assuming here, that what you guys are doing is you're creating capacity if you maintain a balanced, holistic approach of providing rather than just, you know, enabling, you're
right.
really giving people, they're creating a capacity for them to
yes.
to break that cycle and move forward.
Yes. And we want to do it in such a way. We have, it's one of the things we're learning right now. We're looking at, it's called a concept, bridging sustainable communities. And we're looking at that concept. And one of the things they have you looking at is that there's a middle class perspective, there's a wealthy perspective, and then there's a people who are living in poverty, there's a perspective. And people in poverty is all about relationships. And it's helping us to understand, you know, how that we can come along, because people, a lot of us are middle class trying to tell people who are living in poverty how they should live mm-hmm. and what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so this concept we have is actually a getting ahead. They come along, they take this course,
mm-hmm.
and we actually pay them
mm-hmm.
because on any day that they are looking at this, they are in crisis. And so for them to give up 2 hours to come and do some training and do mm-hmm. some, you know, I don't think I'm going to go because I don't have food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small little stipend for them to participate so that they continue. And they come, but they are all around this table and they are telling us what resources they need.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all sort of think that if we get them a job,
sure.
That's it. That's the answer to the problem. That is only one answer.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
there may be other resources that they are missing
mm-hmm.
from living a life that we would consider thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, they may get the job and then you wonder why they, in less than 3 months, walk away. Because there's something else going on that's a much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to be able to get to those issues and those challenges and those barriers to ensure that a person is ready to move into those areas and accept the responsibilities of employment or whatever else
right.
they need.
Right. Yes. Using your analogy of bridge, you know, building bridges here, you guys have done this very well. As I mentioned earlier at the front end of this podcast, there's 53 churches that
yes.
have aligned themselves with
yes.
the local caring place here in Bradley County. Talk to me about that for just a minute. So let me ask you a direct question.
Okay.
Why is it important to build ecumenical bridges in order to serve our communities?
Oh, my God. This is so huge. And this is great timing. Because I wasn't here when Caring Place got started. But in this Bridging Sustainable Communities, it is about the whole community, because mm. it is a community issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poverty impacts the community.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 25,000 people who are unable to take care of their family's basic needs,
mm-hmm.
it impacts the whole community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if we can come together around the table, because there are churches out here that are doing a lot of the same thing that the Caring Place is doing.
Sure.
So we sort of, you got this double dipping thing going on. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we don't give enough food to a family that, you know, it's just going to provide for maybe 2 or 3 days.
Sure.
So to go get food someplace else is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say that. But there's so many of us doing it here. But if we can coordinate our efforts and say, for instance, because food and stuff like that is very easy. But say one of the resources around here is that they really feel like they need a mentor. They need someone to keep them accountable for what they're doing. If we make a call for resources to do that, right now it would be really difficult to do. So for a church to take on that responsibility and be that resource for the community, oh my God. And we have a church here. Public church is choosing to do that, where they're going to walk alongside certain families to, and they're going to start with, you know, where they are right now and get them to where they are thriving. So if we as a community approach could come together and do this and have a steering committee of representation of all the people in the community, the church community, the government community, the people who are the resources in that city, and then even the people who need the help, has to be at that table so that we best understand what resources are necessary for them to move. Then, and it can be duplicated. It's all about communication, and it's all about having a common goal. And you know, I guess I'm talking church a little bit biblical, but I keep coming to Acts 4, where when the church was being birthed and they all came together as a community, okay? And it wasn't about, this is mine, this is yours. It was about putting it all together, all the resources out there. And then it quotes that there was not one needy among them. And so, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Let's talk about the potential of duplicating this idea of the caring place in other, in other locales. Because I'm sure that somebody's listening to us today and thinking, you know what, man, we need to do the same thing. We need to come together. So what are some quick tips that, that you can share with us on ways that are successful in bringing Christians? Now, let me pause for a minute and repeat that. Bringing Christians into a unified front for caring for other people. You're on the front line here, Tony. I was around when, I wasn't on the board, but I was aware of when the Caring Place was launched, you know, so I've kind of seen that from the beginning. I've seen the awesome work that it does. You know, there's always tension in the benevolent business or the benevolent caring process. There's always tension because we are human. Let's go a little bit beyond that, and you tell us, what are some quick tips and ways that, that people listening today can approach this idea of collaborative care in their own community?
I think that I know for the Caring Place, it started with four Church of God churches that they all were experiencing increase in their, when I say ask from the community. And so that all their benevolent, I can't even talk today, funds were just being hit. And so they decided that they would be stronger as one and could impact more because there was a greater need. And I think that's it. Once people really realize that as, you know, we can keep doing this territorial thing, but if we come together and bring all these resources together, then we are a lot more powerful and our resources go a lot further. So to me, it's just bringing these 53 churches that are partners with us. Oh, praise God. But there's communication. You have to have consistent communication. You have to communicate with them. Okay, this is good, but you know what? We need to do more. You need to communicate. Yes, we need to we need more food, but guess what? We also need this over here. This is what we are feeling. This is a new need. When I think about the whole dental issue that came up here, and we did a survey and found out that adult it was a huge need for pulling teeth. mm-hmm. of adult men and women. It was the number one crisis a few years ago here. Mm-hmm. And just communicating. We were in a great position with the churches to communicate that, you know, being on the front line, we see the needs and know the needs, and communicating with them and asking them to come alongside mm-hmm. of us. Tell you the other thing, we believe in prayer is just as much of a gift to give them as food. We want to give them the manna as well as the natural food. Mm-hmm. And so even the churches coming together and having people walk our halls and pray with people. Mm-hmm. And because we also want them, as we are giving them things in the natural to sustain them, we want to give them hope, mm-hmm. the hope for the next day, for the next week. Mm-hmm. And so it comes back. The tip is just as a community, coming back, keeping those open lines of communication, and being able to take a piece of what you have developed, each church saying, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, let me have that piece. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And so as a caring place, I know we work with Pastor Jen here at Columbian, Columbian Presbyterian Church. And my God.
Hold on a minute, Tony. I want you to repeat this now. So you have Church of God churches, you have Presbyterian yes. churches, yes. you have
First Baptist.
All different types of Christian churches coming together in a collaborative
yes.
effort.
Yes.
Good stuff.
We go to First Baptist, my girl there, and I remember with one of our programs, we needed some additional support. Families going through Neighbors in Need was the program, and they needed some marriage counseling. And so we... they had this marriage class.
Sure.
And so they came alongside of us and mm-hmm. offered that class mm-hmm. To everyone that was going through mm-hmm. The Neighbors in Need thing. And so, yes, it's echoing. They're all coming around sure. and helping yeah. out in some way. We have a big behind-the-door breakfast, and this is the money part of it. The churches have come behind us. They come to that. They give financially as mm-hmm. well. We mm-hmm. One of our strongest supporters is Westmore mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Church of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get substantial financial support mm-hmm. for them, but we also have a group of their members that come and volunteer, that sort donations, mm-hmm. that also give out food. Westwood Baptist mm-hmm. Church. I can go yeah, on and
sure.
on. On and on about all the and some role that these churches are taking, which allows us mm-hmm. to pretty from a point of view of keeping our costs down,
sure,
because we don't have to increase staff because of the great volunteerism that we have here with the churches.
Right. So if somebody's listening to us today and they're saying, you know what, we've got a number of churches in our location or our community, and we're doing a lot of good, mm-hmm. but it seems like the Caring Place is more of a hub to kind
yes.
of a central place where people can come and then they can get immediate care, but then they're also connected to long-term
yes.
care and development of those persons. Let's talk about the love of Christ. You mentioned to it a while ago, and I don't think we can get away from it.
No.
And, you know, earlier, we got this idea that we realized that, you know, man, we're trying to do the stuff that Jesus did, and we're
yeah.
trying to be like Jesus
yeah.
in this world. So what lessons can we learn from Jesus's example that we can apply in everyday caring of other people through this idea of loving?
First of all, we have to have a son's heart. I mean, we cannot do anything unless we have his heart. And, you know, it was so funny. Before I came here to Cleveland, God had me praying for to love like him.
Mm.
I didn't know at the time I was going to be set down at the Caring Place.
Sure.
Okay. But once I was connected there and I was watching the people come in and out the door and everything, I realized why he had me to pray for that.
Mm.
It's And that's whether you don't have to be in poverty, but just interacting with people, period. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, it takes love, love to turn the other cheek. It takes love when someone's desperate and they come in and they're demanding of you and you're there to help them. They may even bite the hand that is there to help them because they have no other way. They're desperate, frustrated. But it's a safe place. Our place is a safe place to let out those frustrations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have to be full of His love. That's why before people can serve at the caring place, we have devotions every morning. Mm-hmm. Because we have to be in a mindset of Christ. And so once you are serving through that love, His love, that overrides and overtakes everything. Mm-hmm. And you can't be there to say, okay, I'm the good Christian and I did my good deed. Check. Mm-hmm. No, we don't need that because the people we are, that we are encountering every day that come in, they are in a crisis every day. And so we've got to be there that we don't spiritually kill anybody. Mm-hmm. That we uplift them. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it can be, and I'm going to say this, and people probably say, oh, why did she say that? But it's not easy because they don't always have access to everything that you do. Like we serve the people in transition, in other words, the homeless. Mm-hmm. They don't always smell good. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able, the love of Christ allows me to hug them because that is the one thing they need that day. Mm. And so that is the love of Christ that allows me to, it takes me out of me and think about that person and what they need. Mm. And so to me, there's only one thing you need, and that's the Son's heart. That's the only way you can serve Him. But in Matthew 25, if you need a scripture, you can go read it. Sure. He tells you, if I'm thirsty, you give me a drink, food, naked, give me food, clothing. He goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. He tells us that is what we're supposed to do. His whole life on earth, who did He go to? Mm-hmm. Who was He sitting with? Mm-hmm. Was the people in need.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. We've got a few minutes left on the episode today, and what I really want to do for a few minutes is unpack an event that that you guys started a couple of years ago, and it's called Let's Break Bread Together.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to ask you a couple of the questions as we go through this, so don't just give me A to Z for right now, Tony.
Okay.
Just start with telling us, you know, and describe this event and why you do this thing called Let's Break Bread Together.
Well, we were doing an event. We were every year there's a spring event to raise money. And we just got to a place where we felt like we needed to do something that really spoke and represented our mission more than having a great event for the community to come to. Mm-hmm. And so we were praying about that, and ran across the scripture in Luke, the parable of the great banquet. Mm. And we said, oh my God, this is it. And then someone had sent me something where they did something very similar at a homeless shelter. A group came in and donated the food and had this banquet. And so, but as you look at the great parable, he tells you not to invite your good friends, people who can pay you back. You invite those that may be on hard times that can't pay you back, and you give them a king's meal. Mm-hmm. And so that's what was birthed. And then in Songs of Solomon, he talks about throwing a banquet where people will see His love. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole goal of the Let Us Break Bread Together. It's an opportunity for us to sit down with the people we serve and break bread. And we invite in the community. Mm-hmm. It's not just us. We get donations all around. As you well know, you guys are in Leonard Center, Sodexo, Lee University is all involved in this. And we create this King's Banquet, and we invite the people we serve to come and sit down. And then we have volunteers who come and want to know more, get to know them personally, and break bread with our people that we serve. And it, again, it's just bringing that whole community together for an evening where no one is looked at. They don't where they are necessarily their station, but just looked at a time that we can get to know one another better in this community.
How are people changed as a result of participating in this event? Both the people in need, as we would say, and the contributors.
Well, the contributors, I've heard so much feedback like, "Oh my God, I sat at that table." And I know that this particular family has the same dreams that I have for my family. Mm. The difference between us is that I have credit and they don't. Powerful. For our clients that come, I'll give you one example. One of our people at the time was in transition, but he now has a home. He said, "I have never felt so special in my life and that I belong." Mm-hmm. And he said, it was like that was an evening like at Hollywood, you know, and that you have to know him for why he used that analogy. But it was another family. I can tell you she came and she comes to the caring place. And right before she was leaving, she said she told us that her husband was sick. And that he couldn't come and she wanted some food. And in my mind, because she takes some food to him. And in my mind, I was like, "Oh my God, why didn't she tell me in the beginning?" Because, I mean, this particular one, we are out of everything. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Have a seat. I'm going to run real quick and see if we can get some food." Long story short, was able to find some food. I bring it back and I hand it to her. And a little tear dropped, and she was saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "This is so wonderful." She said, "When I first came in, I didn't know whether I could even ask for a plate to take back to my husband. But you all were so good to us. And loving and open. And so by the time I'm leaving, I know I can trust you to ask." And that was a lesson for me that next time I keep my mouth shut, just say, "Lady, have a seat. I'm going to go see what I can find for you." Instead of my middle class mind, because it's something middle class would do. "Why didn't you tell me when you first came in?" Mm. And so that it's and I can go on and on with stories like that to the point that from the first year doing it to the second year doing it this year, they are asking us, "When are you all going to do that thing?" We're not handing them groceries in a bag. We're handing them, they're able to bring their families. They were taking family pictures that night. Mm-hmm. They're able to come into, it feels like they've gone to a great restaurant they don't get to do and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And sit around the table with their families and with friends they meet and actually eat great prime rib, great, because a lot of them hadn't had that before. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, it's a moment in time that I think continues for us to build trust with this community, mm-hmm. credibility with this community. We're not in it to make ourselves feel good. It's just the right thing to do as a community.
So those listening to us today, that are not yet engaged in active care for the least among us.
Yes.
Or we would call, in some places, the vulnerable.
Yes.
Realizing we're all in need and we're all vulnerable. But what would you say to people on this podcast today to encourage them to become actively involved in caring for others?
You know, I came to this community. And one of the things that I saw here is that most of the people who are in need live on one side of town.
Okay.
And in this, so be honest with you, if I don't come to this side of town, I would not necessarily know there are people in need.
Now, we're talking about our location.
Yeah, our location.
I've traveled enough to know this is the same.
It's everywhere.
This is applicable everywhere we're at.
Everywhere.
Right.
And you need to get to, you need to get engaged in the whole community,
wow,
not just part of the community.
Yeah.
Because it does, it impacts, all of this impacts, let's just bring it this way if you can think of it no other way, but it does impact you, and it will impact your children's children.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we are passing down a world where we're only creating a great divide, those who have and those who don't. And I think we're at that crisis point already in this country,
mm-hmm,
that you have to get out your boat and walk on water.
Sure.
And so you've got to go into those communities. Mm-hmm. It is easy today with all the bypasses and all of that to go on that life is wonderful because you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But take a drive. Wow. In your area, in your community, mm-hmm, to those places that you don't go into,
mm-hmm,
and see how others are living.
Wow. Tony, we've got just a couple of minutes left. How can people get in touch with the Caring Place locally,
okay,
if they want to serve with you guys or support what you're doing here?
Well, they can. Our website is thecaringplaceonline.org. I always have to think about that. And they can get in touch with me, Tony, T-O-N-I, at thecaringplaceonline.org. And they can call us at 423-472-4414, and I am on extension 3.
Great. Tony, knowing you personally, hearing your story today, man, I'm so thankful that you're committed to challenging all of us,
mm-hmm,
to really be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And
yes,
so thanks for joining you. And I will say with confidence, we're going to have you back, okay?
Okay.
You're
going to
be
Thank
back
you.
On Surfcast with us soon. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you.
Pal.
All right. And we'll be back with some takeaways in William's Challenge. And we're back, coming now to our takeaways and challenge segment. Now, that was a fantastic conversation, and honestly, man, I've got to work and interact with Tony quite a bit in my work through the Leonard Center, and you know, anytime she's in a room, she really lights it up. She brings energy, she brings passion, but what always comes through in conversations with her is just the love that she has for people, for this community, and I think, like she said, I mean, it really is. She exhibits the heart of the Son, the heart of Jesus for other people, and I've always really appreciated about that. But William, what are you taking away from this conversation?
I think one of the things that sets with me the deepest today is this idea that you know, they've created a kind of a landing pad of sorts,
mm-hmm,
for people to come together to bring their benevolent caregiving different ministry together, but not to replace what the local church is already doing, because we're still doing that. And you heard Tony talk about the local churches are still providing, you know, walking alongside with some people to get them to job preparedness, to get them actually to an interview. They might get a job, this and that and the other. And so, you know, I don't think it's a handoff from churches to say, okay, I'll dole all my resources out to the Caring Place. I think there's a bigger model here, and the model is that continue what you're doing, but be good at what you can do and support a collaborative, ecumenical approach to a real caregiving model that makes an impact, man. It makes long-lasting impacts in communities.
Yeah, and Tony said it in this interview. She said that, you know, feeding is easy. I mean, that's something, it's very surface level, it's very basic, it's important, but it's something that can easily be accomplished. But the circles that we interact with in our work here at the Leonard Center at Lee University, we will hear people say often that we can't feed our way out of hunger, or we can't just give away enough food to alleviate the problem of poverty, because it's multifaceted, as Tony said. And what they're doing is really bringing people together, because that's what's necessary. I don't think any one organization anywhere is able to completely handle the problems. And it's never just a one-fix issue. There's always something like connected. It's a web of problems typically. But they're providing a place where, you know, these people can come together and dive deeper into the issue and, mm-hmm. and to try to get at the root of some of these things that's causing hunger, that causes poverty, that causes joblessness. But that holistic approach is something that they're not just looking at these people as empty bellies, you know. Mm-hmm. They're human beings, and they have dreams, they have aspirations, they have needs.
Sure.
But there's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I want to close our episode today with a simple challenge that kind of piggybacks off of what Tony said. You know, asked her to encourage people who are not yet actively involved in caregiving to figure out a simple way to start. And she, it was so powerful, man. She simply said, get in your car or necessarily if need be, walk, whatever you need to do, to a different area than you're normally living your life in, within your city, within your community, within your neighborhood, to be exposed to other situations and circumstances and people in need. You know, I teach a couple of classes here on campus that are intentionally focused on community development, going into the community and figuring out ways in which we can make impact, long-term impact. And so a lot of that course is designed to just expose students to people in need. It's a simple approach to making sure the next generation is going to continue this idea of caregiving, you know, versus the idea of neglecting people. And it happens every time, Tyler, and this has occurred on a number of years here, and I think it's probably applicable not just in my location where we live, but in, you know, wherever you live that you're listening to this, that I have somebody who says, I grew up in this town. I have a student who says, I've lived in this town all my life, and I've never been to that street you took me to today. I've never seen those people, you know, anywhere, and I live just a few blocks or a few miles away from where they are. And so I think that that's a very powerful, powerful challenge from Tony, and I'm going to extend it to us now on Servcast to say, open your eyes, go wherever you've got to go, listen, focus in, pay attention, because right around the corner, in some cases a block and maybe even across the globe, right around the corner are people who need you, they need me, and if we're if we make ourselves available, man, it's powerful what God will do in these days to take what little we contribute and willingness to Him to make long-term lasting impact in people's lives. And so, as always on Servcast, we're made for more. We're made for an opportunity to make an impact. So we want to challenge you to do what you can today. First, pray. Second, serve. And watch what God can do with that.
Thank you for joining us today on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes if you liked this episode, or if you didn't, you just want to give us some feedback, it'd be a great place to do it. Also, be sure to check out The Caring Place and their work. You can do that, as Tony said, at their website, which is thecaringplaceonline.org. If you want to join in the conversation, or if you have some tips for William or I or suggestions for future guests, you can do so by emailing us at servcast22, that's servcast22@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, Tyler Shores, their guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.